James chapter 1. I appreciate our brother James. This book is so practical. It is so down to earth. It hits us, I promise you. If you've ever read through the book of James, you probably come away bleeding a little bit, because he just tells us like it is. Look in verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And he continues, greeting. He says, be well. I wish the best for you. Not only do I, but the Lord. And he continued by saying, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. There's a good reason for it. The Lord is not just being mean. The devil didn't just sneak in one on us. But the Lord is allowing and even sending trials to help us. There's a good reason for it. He here identifies himself as they did in that day. We identify ourselves at the end of the letter, sincerely, with love, put your name at the end. They did the opposite. They identified themselves at the beginning of the letter. He identifies himself as James, but he says a servant of God. Tells us a lot about this man. For James not only was a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was the half-brother of Jesus. He was one of those ones that were raised in the carpenter shop with Joseph. He was one of the ones that played around Jesus as he was little. He was one of the brothers that were raised in Jesus' home. But James does not say, by the way, you fellas, you do know who I am, don't you? I am the brother of the Lord. I am the brother of Christ. He says, oh, no. He says, I'm just a servant. Just call me a slave. Just if you will recognize that I am the Lord's servant, I am his slave, I'm his bond slave, it'll be all right. In fact, not all right, that's what I'm wanting. I do not want the limelight. I do not want somebody to pat me on the back. I do not want to talk to someone to talk about the great James. I just want you to know the Savior's the one that deserves all the glory. James wasn't even saved until after the resurrection. None of the brothers and sisters believed in Christ until after the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:7, I believe it is, Paul talks about James and the other disciples or other people, the witnesses saw Jesus after he was risen. Well, I guess if you rose up, was raised up with a man, with a little boy, and you saw him grow up, and you knew who he was as an adult, and you knew he had been killed, you knew he was dead, and now you see him alive, and you know him to be who he is, I guess that'd make a difference in your life. So after the resurrection, somewhere, we don't know when, but he accepted the Lord as his personal Savior. Here's a man who has become the leader of the church. The church is multiplying. People are getting saved by the thousands. And one of the leaders of this church is James. And in Acts 15, there's the Jerusalem Council where they get together and decide, what are we going to do with these Gentiles? Gentiles are getting saved by the droves. Do we have to get them to be circumcised? Do they have to follow the law? What are we to do with them? And James is one of the ones that speaks at that Jerusalem Council around 50 A.D. So here's a man who has become one of the leaders of the church. He's an important man, but he still calls himself just a servant, just a slave. He's my master. He's my Lord. We don't know for sure when this book was written, probably 45 to 50 A.D., somewhere along in there. But here's a man who allows the Holy Spirit to speak through him in penning down this book. It's one of the most wonderful books I've ever read in my life. I appreciate James' directness. Now understand, I speak as James' directness. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God speaking, but he is writing through this man, and the words that James writes down are directly from God, and he speaks to people. Verse 1, to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. Their persecution has gotten so severe. They literally had to leave their homes and flee for their lives. Do you understand how severe that would be? Do you understand the drastic circumstances of these people's lives? The enemy has hated the church and hated Christ, and now he is attacking the church and attacking Christians, doing his best to destroy the church, destroy the word, do away with the gospel. And he does that one way through persecution, by making it hard on Christians. And here's these early church Christians, here's these young saints, literally having to leave their homes and flee. You understand with me, that's an undesirable situation. How would you like to live in such a time where to live, you'd have to run? I mean, to exist, to keep from dying, you'd have to run away and leave everything you knew and everything you loved behind. Here's these people. That's what the kind of people that James is talking to. One thing for sure, as you read through this book, you'll find a man who loved people, but he loved God even more. He's speaking to a people who are hurting, but he speaks directly what God says. He tells them what God says. Now, there's a lot of misunderstanding about James. And Martin Luther said this was a epistle of straw. I'll just say, Martin Luther, I don't care what you say. This is God's word. There's some misunderstanding about James, because James says, if you're saved, it'll be proven by how you live. And he says, if you say you have faith, show your faith by how you live. And some have said that's contrary to what Paul says, because Paul says it's by grace through faith and that only. Well, it's certainly so. James is saying if you're saved, it will be evident. And if it's not evident, you're not saved. If you're not doing the works of Christ, if you're not portraying the Spirit of the Lord, it's a good chance you've never got in. That's what James is saying. And I agree with him. Whether I agree with him or not, it's still true. Here's a man who does agree with everything else in the Bible. He just simply puts Christianity down to shoe leather and say, how are you walking? How do you live? Do you live as though you know him? You say you do, but do you prove it by your life? Paul says the same thing. He said, we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He said, if you're created, if you've been saved, if the Holy Spirit lives in you, he will generate in you good works. We're not saved by works, but we're saved unto works. And that's exactly what James says in this epistle. He's speaking to Jewish believers that are scattered through the land. And he says to them, God did not make a mistake. What you're going through now did not slip by God. Oh, yes, you're suffering. And yes, it is not fair. And yes, it's because, in spite of, included with, the fact that you're living for God. But he says in these verses, through this book, in spite of it all, you can still believe God and know that he's doing right. James says, just keep on walking with God in spite of what you're facing. But he says a whole lot more than that. He says, yes, you're suffering, and yes, it's not right, and yes, it's not fair, and yes, God could have stopped it all, but that does not, listen, that does not excuse you from serving him. Hey, if that's true of them, how much more true of that is that of us? We're in somewhat difficult days. We have our battles. We have our conflicts. We suffer some persecution. The Christian is left out of a lot of things in our day. We have different types of battles and problems that are overwhelming to us. But in spite of what we're facing, we have no excuse not to serve Him. We have no excuse not to give our all. If James said this to these people, he surely says it to us tonight. He says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Don't just listen to it. Don't just learn it, but live it. He said that to suffering people. He said that to abused people. He said that to people hiding out away just to survive another day. If he said that to them, he says it to us. One thing for sure, this book will change you. I don't even know if I'll get to my fault for this evening, but I'll just keep pecking. We'll see. This is a book that will change our lives if we adapt it to our living. I guess all the Bible will. But here's a book, again, that's shoe leather. It's a book that's practical. His message is as true today as it was when he wrote it. And what it does is encourage us to take a close look at our lives, to examine ourselves and see where we're at. And the actual message of this book, more than anything else, I believe, is this. It's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. James is a tough one. James is not for the lighthearted. James is not for the faint in mind. James is a book that hits us straight in the face, and as I said already, we'll come away bleeding. But it's a book that'll change our lives. Here's a man that God used to set us straight and help us if we will let him. Hey, Paul did the same thing. He said this. Hey, now James is saying to these people, it is time to grow up. It is time to mature. Playtime's over. Hey, kindergarten's in the past. It is time for you as God's people to grow up and to mature. Paul said the same thing. He said it like this in 1 Corinthians 3:2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Paul said to these Corinthians, I've had to feed you with milk. I've had to give you the simple things of the Word of God. You should be old enough now to take the meat, but you can't. I had to feed you with a baby bottle. I had to feed you with an eyedropper. I've had to feed you with milk because you weren't able to, and you're still not able to take meat. He says, you're a bunch of babies. That's exactly what he says. He calls them babies. Writer Hebrews had the same idea. Hebrews 5:12 says, and when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as have need of milk and not of strong meat. The writer of Hebrews, I believe Paul, said you ought to be teachers yourself. You've been saved long enough and you've been exposed enough to the Word to where you ought to know it enough to where you can be teaching others. And now, even though that's true, you have need of someone teaching you. You can't even bear the milk hardly, let alone the meat. That's exactly what James is dealing about in his book. He says it's time to grow up. It's time to stop being a toddler, stop trying to be a baby, or stop being a baby. Jesus told his disciples the same thing. He said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. I wonder what he was wanting to tell them. I wonder, did he ever get to tell them? He said, there's a lot of things I'd like to share with you fellas. Boy, can you imagine the abundance of the knowledge of Jesus Christ? And he says, from that great resource of knowledge, he says, I want to share some things with you. I want to enlighten you on some things, but I can't now, because if I told you, you'd say, huh? I don't understand. I can't get it. He says, you can't bear them now. That's exactly what James is saying all the way through his book. He says you need to grow up. Now, even though we don't find this word in James, he sure does hint at it a lot. We never find the word baby. We do not find the word immature. We do not find the word toddler, but that's what he's talking about. And listen to me. To people who are suffering, people who have been wronged, people hiding to survive, could die at any moment, he said, it's time to grow up. It's no longer time to be a baby. It's time to mature. It's time to wake up. Now, being a baby's fine if you're a baby. But if you're 20 years old, being a baby ain't good. I couldn't think of anything nicer to say. There's something wrong if a 20-year-old boy is still having to suck a bottle. There's something wrong if a 20-year-old boy has not learned to walk. There's something wrong if a 20-year-old person is still acting like a baby. And James says the same thing spiritually. He says it's time to grow up. I thought about this. Babies. Brian asked me what I was preaching tonight, and I just sort of grinned. This is going to be a tough one. It'll help us. Babies' lives involve pouting and pacifiers and playpens and potties and pampers and puke. And I thought about poop, but I thought I might make you mad about that one. So I went ahead and said it anyway. If you got mad, you just change a diaper. You won't bother you near much. Babies involve, listen, bibs and bassinets and blankies and booties and buggies and burps and bottles and even boogers. And I don't know about you, but I don't want my life involved with any of that. Not just physically, spiritually. I want to grow up. And James wants us to grow up. If you have to be given a bottle, you're a baby. If you're the only one that matters, you're a baby. If you're expecting somebody else to make you happy, you're a baby. If you throw a tantrum over the smallest things when you don't get your way, you're a baby. If you're easily offended, you're a baby. If you fall down a lot, you're a baby. If you're cutest when you're asleep, you're a baby. Ain't this fun? James says to people, be honest, who we would say had a right to be a little babyish. It's time to grow up. Had a right, in our estimation, to whine a little bit and to pout. He said, grow up. It's time to grow up. It's time to mature. One thing else is true about a baby. A good baby is maturing. Growing up, developing. They start trying to stand. They start using a sippy cup. They start saying words. They start going to the potty. Hallelujah. They mature. They grow up. A baby is fine as long as you're a baby. And if you're not the age of a baby, it's time to grow up. And if we're not growing up, there's something wrong. James would say spiritually, it's time to grow up. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state by experience, by living life, I have learned. That's what James would say. Learn by living. Paul said we're to bear our own burdens in Galatians 6:5. There's some things that'll come our way and we're to bear it. There are burdens that's going to come our way and we're to bear it. It's not easy. In fact, it's impossible. But God gives us grace. And that's what James is talking about. The average Christian is no closer to victory 10 years or 15 years or 20 years after they got saved than the first day they got saved. That's the average Christian. He wants us to have victory in spite of what we're facing. To people who were suffering, People who have run away from their homes and left everything just to survive. There's, he said, grow up, grow up. One thing for sure, this book will change you. It teaches us to quit acting like toddlers and say it's time for me to grow up. Got a question. I ain't going to get to it. I just want to ask you, are you ready for the challenge? How will it strike you? Will you receive and be helped or resist and stay right there in those pampers? James says it's time to grow up. It's time to mature. It's time for your life to change. This book will change you. It's time to grow up as far as our fears and our doubts. The things we're afraid of today, we were afraid of 10 years ago. The things we worry about now, we worry about 10 years ago. We ought to have matured now. We ought to have grown now. Those things we have faced since then, until now, are to help us to trust Him, to help us to depend on Him. James said, in the midst of your trials that you don't understand and don't want, trust Him. We ought to mature about our dealing with fear. We ought to learn something now to where we trust Him more. We are children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have reason to trust Him. We have reason to rejoice in the midst of our trials. James says, you can trust Him. There's nothing to be afraid of. I'll tell you one thing. God does not coddle those who are afraid. I wish He did. But when the disciples were so fearful in the ship, that when He finally calmed the storm, He said, why were you so fearful, O ye of little faith? There was real danger. But He said to those who had been afraid, hey, it's time to grow up, fellas. Why were you afraid? Have I not taken care of things in the past? He said to Peter, when he began to sink, and he reached down and grabbed him and took him to the boat, said the same thing. Why were you so fearful? He said to people who were afraid and in real circumstances, to be honest, where I would explain they had a reason to be afraid. But Jesus said, no, because I was taking care of it. We need to grow up as far as our fear and our doubt and our worry and our dread. Got a question. Aren't you tired of it? Aren't you tired of doubting? Aren't you tired of worrying? Aren't you tired of being troubled? Aren't you tired of being afraid? Aren't you tired of being scared? James says it's not only time to get tired of it, it's time to do something about it. Hey, I can trust Him with my eternity. Can I not trust Him with my today? I'm trusting Him with my eternity. And I have confidence in that. But a problem come along today and I get fretful, that doesn't make sense. James says it's time to grow up. It's time to mature. It's time to quit acting like a baby. Quit toddling around. Grow up. He said that to hurting people. Yeah, it's time to grow up as far as just our walk with Him, just our communion with Him. Most of us, and I include myself, are toddlers at best when we talk about our communion with Him and spending time with Him and getting in this book and letting Him speak to our heart in a way that's going to help us today and give us the grace we need to endure the problem we're going through, the burden that we should have for lost people and the boldness that we should have to witness just our daily walk with Him and all that it entails. Most of us are still toddling around, kind of falling down every once in a while, and that's probably more than that. James would say, it's time to grow up. We talk about it. We say we need to pray, but we're not praying. And we say we need the Word, but we're not in the Word. And we say we need to tell others, but we're not telling others. James says, if you're saved, it'll be proven. He says, I'm looking for your works. If I don't see the works, I have a reason to doubt whether you're really saved. That's what he says. He says, it's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. If he said it to them, he's not going to do less to us because we're not facing what they face. I think we need to grow up as far as our attitude. A lot of us. I was speaking with Brian this morning. I tell Brian exactly what to think. Tell him the way you can deal with him. You don't tell him what you think, he'll whoop you. He'll run over you. You got to come back with Brian just exactly how he comes to you. So I just tell him how I think. I don't do that to everybody. I really don't. I guess I feel comfortable enough around him just to tell him what I think. Well, he's back there before church. And I just talking to him about the Sunday school and all that. And I said, and I finally said, just give me a break. And then I thought, well, now Brian understands that, but I'm not sure all these people around me understand that. I'm not sure they understand how I talk to him. So I thought then about this message tonight. We may just need an attitude adjustment. If we're acting like a baby, we're acting like a toddler. James said you need to grow up. We need to mature as far as our attitude. If we walk around grumpy half the time, something needs to be adjusted. If we act like we're in a bad mood half the time, something needs to happen. We need to recognize the condition and deal with it and ask for help. James is dealing with these things. Because it does matter how we act. It does matter our facial expressions. It does matter how we converse with people. That's why I really did kind of feel bad about talking to him like that this morning. A little bit. Because I was halfway picking. Our attitude. People are watching and people are listening, and it shouldn't matter to us how they look at us. Now, here's our excuse. That's just the way I am. That's just the way I am. Well, you know homosexuals say that too. The drunk that spent the children's money last night to buy another bottle says that I was born this way. It does not excuse us. We were all born sinners, but it's time to grow up. It's time to mature. It's time to recognize our attitude should be Christian. We are supposed to be Christians. That means we're Christ-like. It literally means having the nature of Christ. You know why they call them Christians? Because they reminded them of Christ. Those lost people said, that bunch acts like Jesus. And they didn't even like it. And James is a man who says, you need to adjust that attitude. It does matter. We need to adjust. We need to grow up as far as so many things, I'm sure, about anger and selfishness and pride and jealousy and greed and lust. Here's what I say. Here's what James says. Quit settling for a half-hearted life. Quit settling for you being yourself. Ask God to take you higher. Ask God to help you mature. My goodness, what a blessing that is. What a desire that should be. We ought to do something about our flesh. We ought to do something about our old man. Aren't you tired of the flesh controlling you? Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, the things I would do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. But that's in Romans 7. In chapter 8, he comes with victory. And he tells himself and us how to have victory. And that's walk in the Spirit. Submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Surrender ourselves to Him. And not try and do it on our own. We need to grow up. We need to mature. We need to wake up. We need to be sure that what we're doing is pleasing God. I'm just kind of told us a little bit what James said. But he said it in James 1 to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. If he says these things to them, he has said them to us, and not just James, but the Lord. He goes so far to say, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. He said to them, rejoice. I won't even try and get into it. James says to me and to you, time to grow up. I think he said it because he knew they would need it. You are in a circumstance now where you better grow up. It's not only God's will, but you're in a situation where you better grow up, because if you don't, you will be whooped in that circumstance. You will go down. You will fail. And we may not be running from our homes tonight, but we're living in a difficult time. And I am convinced now, the Lord says to us, grow up. Grow up. Do what James will tell us. Look at yourself. Be honest. Admit it. And ask God for help. Let's stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed. Many of you will come.